I was wondering, when did you first become aware of the RMA?
Well, it took a while. It took a while. I came to the UK for my PhD in 2014, and because it was not funded, I worked throughout, so I didn't have much time for conference going or, in general, research activities outside the work I had to put into the PhD project. And then after my transfer exam from Royal Holloway, where I started, I moved to the Royal College of Music. And there, Natasha Loggus started to talk to me about the association. And she was really enthusiastic about the activities they run, especially for students. So I became a member. But then it was not until 2018 that I went to an annual meeting. Then I realized the Royal Musical Association was the breath of the discipline in the UK. And it was really, really an inspiring experience. But what about you? You came to the UK at an earlier stage, no? In your
Yeah, that's
academic
right.
career.
Yes, I came kind of right after high school. I did like a year of university in Italy, and I was studying composition at conservatoire. But then I decided to study music at university here in the UK. And actually, it's funny because I became aware of the RMA almost as soon as I arrived, like as a first year undergraduate. So I was at Southampton, and I remember going to this film music conference that was organized by Robin Stilwell, who was there at the time, and it was at least partly sponsored by the RMA. I don't remember exactly now whether it was an RMA was entirely, funded by the RMA or not. But I remember becoming aware, this kind of these three letters, the kind of the RMA as a brand. There was a some really interesting people there and some big names. I remember this amazing paper by Matthew Head about music and eroticism in the English Patient, which went completely over my head. So yeah, that was the first time I became aware of the RMA, probably not quite understanding what it was as a first year undergraduate student and as a, coming as a foreign student. And that was the very first symposium I ever attended. I'm not even sure I exactly understood what was going on in terms of what symposium was. But yes, it was basically the RMA as a brand was pretty much attached to my very first experience of kind of scholarship in action, so to speak. Yeah, and I feel like that might be the case for quite a few students actually, that you kind of become aware of the existence of the RMA, even if you don't exactly immediately get a sense of what their broader scope is or the institution, how the institution works, of course. But yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, I feel it's kind of ubiquitous in a sense. It feels like really deeply rooted. I think that's quite indicative of that for me.
So did you go to the students' conferences
I
after
did.
you?
I think that was like maybe not the first conference I presented at, but maybe the second one. I remember it was a Surrey actually. Yes, and that's the thing. Like for me at least, I really remember those early kind of early experiences in terms of conferences. They really stay with you, I think. What was your experience like in terms of the conferences?
Very different from what I was expecting. For a start, people would talk to me, even though they had no idea who I was, which was refreshing. It was a very intellectually lively, an open environment, very democratic, with many people genuinely interested in ideas. And it gave me really a sense I could go somewhere with the work I was doing. Freya Jarman came to me after I gave my paper and asked me if I was interested in sending an article to the journal. So you can imagine, no, my surprise. I gave a paper on it was constructions of femininity in post-unification Italy, and the article ended up to be an essay on the singing of Enrico Caruso. So that also I regard as another sign of being open to ideas and listening to people with a sympathetic ear. You too, you also published your article with the RMA journal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was the first time I was submitting an article to a journal. I also think, like, from the conferences and from the kind of material that was coming out in Germa, you got this sense of, like, a very welcoming association. The sense, you know, like, there was no sense when I sent the article, no sense, like, from editors or reviewers, you know, like, this is not a proper topic for the journal or anything like that. This was a music article, and, you know, I'm talking like a properly old man now, but this was over, you know, 12 years ago. So there were many articles on film by then, but again, there was no sense of, like, no, I think you don't get any sense of gatekeeping, you know, from the RMA. I think that's how I look at the RMA more generally, although I don't know how similar musicological societies are elsewhere, but I suspect that's quite distinctive of the RMA, the fact that there isn't a sense of, like, policing the boundaries of the discipline.
It is.
Do you have
You've never been to the Società Italiana di Musicologia, for instance?
No, I have no experience, actually, of musicological societies elsewhere.
Okay, that's interesting. Well,
how does your experience compare in terms of
So I do not have a musicological background. I am a child of the conservatoire, and then my bachelor degree is in law. But from my PhD on, I started going to conferences in Italy. I am a quite regular attendee of the Società Italiana di Musicologia annual conference, which is the equivalent of the RMA annual meeting. And yeah, it's, how can I put it? It is a more formal environment, and there is less, I think it's fair to say, interdisciplinary scope to it, although things are changing in that respect quite rapidly. It is smaller scale, just in terms of people involved. The UK musicological scene is more populated. The RMA conferences are bigger in terms of numbers compared to those of the Società Italiana di Musicologia. Therefore, the vision of the discipline is more traditional, or tends to be more traditional and more anchored to the actual music, generally speaking, which can be refreshing at times. It is not as easygoing and welcoming as the RMA, but of course, this is my impression coming from outside, because I am seen, I'm considered there as a non-Italian entity, if this makes sense.
You're more of an outsider there.
100%. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so because you are in this film study field, and so your branch of scholarship is really interdisciplinary. Do you feel that the RMA responded well to this? And I mean, in a way, you said it when you talked about your art.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as it happens, actually, because I actually organized the student conference when I was a PhD student at King's back in the day, and we organized it. And I remember the theme was interdisciplinarity. You know, again, when the word was still trendy back then, this was with Amy Blier Carruthers. Yeah, I never got any sense of controlling, kind of policing the boundaries of the discipline at all. And I think that's why I felt the confidence of approaching the journal with film music material and things like that. I always got this sense of RMA being a sort of bottom-up organization, if you see what I mean. And this sense of being kind of almost a kind of grassroots thing. So not so much dictating the agenda, responding to changes and providing and kind of facilitating for change to happen in the discipline. So yeah, I think that's been my experience also in terms of expanding the boundaries of what is considered to be a relevant topic for music studies and what kind of literature, you know, what is the kind of core of the discipline and how distributed that kind of discipline can be across the humanities. So yes, that's very much been my experience. But your work also is drawing on a wide range of materials. So what's been your experience of that, and also just, you know, more generally, I mean, do you see that there are changes that are taking place? Did the RMA play an important role in understanding how music studies is done in the UK and how it could be changed? I don't know. This is a very vague question, but like,
no.
Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, it's an excellent question. Yeah, both the meetings and the journal really sparkled my interdisciplinary approach and helped me to think bigger. I really started with the what and the how in my PhD. It was really analytical and based on early recorded performances. But then I think it was the, you know, encounter of so many scholars through the RMA that really projected me in the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Why going beyond my specific focus, my piece of research, the project on which I'm working right now, and has been a contributing factor in making me question what the relevance is of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So it pushed me to get out there and read the work of others, even beyond music. In fact, I would say that in recent years, I have read perhaps most in other discipline, theater studies, literature studies, than music per se. So I think what you said, that the association is also inspired by the work. It is not a closed, rigid structure, and it really, the work of its members shapes musicology according to what is happening, what the members do. That is really beautiful. Makes the discipline lively and lively in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a pretty good point to end on, actually. And also because we need to try and stay within, you know,
yeah,
a reasonable amount of time, so as not to reinforce any stereotypes of, you know, Italians. That's another difference, right? With conferences in Italy, that people tend to speak well beyond their...
Yeah. We are getting better at that.
We're getting better. We're getting better.
Okay. It was really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, same. Okay.